Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 83. How we doing today, boys? It is a beautiful Saturday afternoon. We got some FA Cup football today. I am your host, Kevin. I got my co-host here, Yannis. How you doing, bro?
What it do, baby?
Hey, yo, I know we just literally just talked about this before starting the recording, but I mean, we got Sun, got two goals. We got a worldie, too. I was just saying, man took the mask off and he's back.
Mask was getting in the way.
Yeah, he said like he wasn't comfortable with it. It was kind of like blocking some of his field of vision. Did not feel like the same player. Like, man took mask off and now he's back. And Spurs need him. So
Spurs definitely need him. I can definitely see how the mask could be like a nuisance in your field of vision. I don't know how comfortable I would feel.
That just reminded me. I'm going to add something to the layout. We're going to talk about it later. Okay. Right. Are you watching the type right now?
Yes, I am. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, okay, I got you.
We'll see. We got all right. We'll keep it for later.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got United versus Arsenal. That was a crazy game. We're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about some managers getting sacked. People that should not be managers, in my opinion. and a lot of fun things to talk about. But I mean, do we just get right into it? Arsenal versus Man United.
Eddie and Ketcha, bro. Eddie and Ketcha.
Oh man, dude, that goal, like fucking. First of all, First of all, this team without Casemiro is like such a different team. We're still good, but it just goes to show how important like of a presence he is in our midfield. He's literally like the midfield maestro for us. And like we played Eriksen a little bit further back. To kind of compensate, and it's just not the same. And I knew the game before, it was like a huge debate, if we play Casemiro and risk him getting a yellow and being suspended for the Arsenal game, or just play him and go all out to try to win every game. And I was kind of leaning on the fact that like we probably could have won that game without playing him and not risk the yellow. Then he gets the yellow, and then we have a tough game against Arsenal. So honestly, it was tough, but the game was super entertaining. I thought it was really good from both teams. I think United kind of knew that Arsenal were going to have most of the possession, so we kind of decided we were going to play a more counter-attacking football. Rashford's still the most informed player in the world right now. Yeah, I think it was really encouraging from United, and Arsenal's been the best team in the league right now, so it was going to be a tough matchup either way. But I think we played well. I think it was kind of like the last goal. I think it was just unlucky, to be honest. It was so close to being offside, but it wasn't. So it's just one of those. But I think it was like, it could have gone either way, I think, in my opinion. Like, I think a draw was like the most likely outcome. But I wouldn't have been surprised about a late goal on either side. So the fact that Arsenal got it, I mean, it just goes to show you guys are one of the best teams in the league this year. So props to you guys. But what are your thoughts on the game?
I mean, I thought it was a great game as well. It wasn't an issue of like us getting most of the possession because in most games we've been dominating possession. Mm-hmm. I was mainly like concerned as to whether we were gonna finish our chances, which I think we did a lot of times. The Saka goal was probably my favorite one. Just because of how of a threat,
it was a really good
and
goal.
How much of a threat
it was, like Rashford.
It was basically like a Rashford, yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a great goal and overall. I was waiting on to see how Nketiah would do because there's been a lot of hype on him and he's been performing well. But I didn't know what he was gonna do in a big game like this, and he showed up. Two typical striker goals. Came in clutch last minute. I think it's great for his confidence, and we're going to need that because the season is still long and we have a lot of games that we need to win, and it's going to be close games. Just rely on just having Gabriel Jesus or Saka or just Odegaard and Martinelli. We need Eketa to provide as well, and he's been doing that, so I was very happy with his performance. Defensively as well, I thought we were pretty solid, even though Rashford did burn us once, and I don't know how we let Martinez score that header. That was weird, but that happens, I guess. Overall, we got the
he's so passionate,
very passionate, very good defender. Honestly, like ever since he came to England, I think the reports like were kind of off on him, like being a small defender and like it was gonna be a liability as a center back
or questioned it.
Yeah, it was just gonna take time. Like Ten Hag knows what he's doing for sure. That's one thing that I can definitely confirm. Like, Ten Hag knows what he's doing. Yeah, overall, like, I'm happy with the result. Obviously, the 3 points are massive because now we can go, we're 8 points clear of City, and we need as much points as we can before February 15 because that's going to be the big showdown. Obviously, we played City yesterday too, and that didn't go so well. Even though we were pretty decent, I thought Trossard, who came in, who started, had a really good game. Yep. Did a lot of good things on that left hand, not left end there. We probably could have gone with the a point or a win, maybe. I thought we were the better team for most of the game. The goal was kind of cheesy, but it happens. Overall, very encouraging things from Arsenal so far. And if we keep going in that right direction, I think we can have some big things are going to happen towards the end of the season.
I mean, that's the big question, right? It's everybody kind of knows that Arsenal's the big juggernaut right now. But the question is, are you guys going to be able to keep it up? And I know, like, I saw a couple people talk about this, but, like, is Arsenal setting themselves up for a disappointing season? Because, you know, you can't win the FA Cup anymore, not in that tournament, not in the Carabao Cup, no Champions League or Europa League football. So it's kind of like all you got is the league left, right? And, you know, 8 points clear of City, but you do play City two more times this season. Like, you haven't played them yet in the season. So, you know, you lose both those games, it's a two-point difference, and We know City can turn it up at any moment, and this is kind of like uncharted territory for Arsenal as of late, right? Like, it's being this good at the top of the table hasn't been something that you guys have been used to. So it's kind of like, you know, puts into question, like, do you guys have the squad depth or the consistency to keep it up until the end of the year? Or, you know, like, are you guys going to end up finishing the season? Like, if you don't win the league, do you consider this a failed season, like a disappointing season, given how far you've come at this point, right? After Christmas, you know, it's already January and you guys are still top of the table.
Yeah, I think it would be, if we end up not getting the title at the end of the season, I think it would be disappointing. I think it would, but it wouldn't be as bad as, like, us finishing fourth with, like, no titles. I think us finishing second would be encouraging just because we've done so much progress since last year. But I think because of how well we started this season and how consistent we've been so far, it would be a disappointment not to get the trophy. That doesn't mean that you have to sack the manager and everything, right? All you really have to do is take the lessons from what you got this season and reinforce maybe like one or two more signings and keep the energy for next season. Like you said, not having the FA Cup and not having the Carabao Cup, maybe it helps us because now we only have really one competition to focus on.
I think that will be a big help, to be honest, especially when City is pushing for a Champions League United is still in these competitions as well. It's going to take their resources away from, like, the league. Whereas Arsenal can just go full on in the league, right? So,
yeah, maybe it's a blessing in disguise in the sense that where we can mainly focus on the league. And I think if we keep going in that route, the way we're going right now, like the United game to me was a big one because that was the only thing that had beaten us so far.
True.
So I was really expecting us to, like, show up, and we did. So honestly, the only thing that scares me is City. And, I mean, even scary is a top four.
I think that's the biggest threat right now. It's like it feels like the only threat because, honestly, like, I mean, you have no more games against United this season, right?
Yeah.
And the rest of the league, honestly, does not look as strong as in previous years. Like, Liverpool and Chelsea they're not threats right now. Yeah. They aren't threats. I mean, City and United feel like the biggest competition, and you already played United, so City is the only team left. And, like, you know, when Newcastle is still third in the team, we're going to talk about them a little later. But it feels like the Prem is a little bit more balanced this season and less super top heavy. So it'll be interesting to see if you guys can keep the consistency all the way until the end. Because defense has been strong. It's been one of your strongest suits. Like, you guys have one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, Newcastle, I think, has to be the best defense. 11 goals conceded the whole season. It's ridiculous. It feels like you haven't conceded in forever.
I can't remember the last time you conceded a goal.
Yeah, it's like either the games are 0-0 or 1-0 or, you know, it's really tough to play
but
them.
City is fragile, too. They've had some tough results in the league, too. Like, it's not like they're invincible, too.
For sure.
They're very beatable. And honestly, like, if you look at the game from yesterday, obviously I didn't look at it, I just saw the highlights, but it's very encouraging. I think we had the better chances. We could have got a result there. So to me, I'm kind of excited for the next two games because I don't think the City is going to win twice. I don't think we're winning twice. I think it might be like a one win each. That still puts us in a decent position, like, in terms of the league table.
Yeah, that that February 15 game is gonna be a big one. Talking about disappointing seasons, though, I mean, we got to talk about Lampard because, I mean, Everton, they're in the relegation zone. I feel like they're, like, more likely than not going to be relegated, which is insane to think about. This team was, like, considered one of, like, the top five clubs in England, like, a couple years ago. You know, they were always that. Have they ever been relegated? That, I don't know if they've ever been relegated, but, you know, that's, like, it's you know, it's kind of like if Spurs got relegated next year or whatnot. Like, this team was one of those teams that was kind of fighting to become in that big three conversation, and they were kind of growing. You know, they get big managers, they make big signings, it kind of falls through, and they kind of, I feel like they always take like one or two steps forward and then like 10 steps back is what it feels like.
Yeah,
but you know, they fire Lampard, and I think it was right justified decision. Yeah. I mean, you know how I feel about Lampard. We've talked about it a bunch of times. I do not think he's a good manager at all. I thought when Chelsea hired him, it was a big mistake. He's done nothing to prove that he could manage at the top level. Everywhere he's gone, he's failed. So it's kind of just like, it's a big question mark. It's like people are just trying to associate the fact that, like, he's one of the best midfielders in history to he can be a successful coach, which just does not seem like it. And he's been given ample opportunities, to be honest, with resources. Like he's gone to big clubs. So yeah, I don't know. I think it was a mistake.
I mean, we'll give him the one good season that he had at Chelsea when he finished in the top four. That's about his best season that he's had in his managerial career, I'd say. I can't remember how he did with Derby, but I know that he didn't qualify for promotion. So that's that. I think people got to realize, I think people, like most people, realize that like great players do not necessarily equal like great managers, especially when it comes to English players. Let's not forget how Gary Neville ended up at Valencia. It didn't go so well for him.
No, and, not at
I
all.
Mean, you can only name so you don't even have to say English. Like, Thierry Henry had a decent run with Montreal, but not a great one with Monaco. And he hasn't. I mean, he's the second man with Belgium, so he's not the main coach right now. He says that he wants to go back eventually, but I think sometimes they get pushed too early into like those big roles, and some of them aren't really necessarily prepared for it. I think the best, I mean, if you look at the good players that were good managers, like Zidane started as an assistant coach for at Madrid, right? So he's been in the house for a while, and he's seen great coaches before. He was assistant for Ancelotti. I think the only one that didn't have a good, like, thing, well, I'm thinking about someone else right now. Guardiola had a decent, okay career. Like, I don't remember much about his career as a player, but he's from that Jurgen Cruyff era, so he knows, he's obviously been into the Jurgen Cruyff, like, football mentality, philosophy stuff, so he's had a good, like, mentor, to say the least. Like, if you don't have a good mentor, I feel like it's hard for you to, like, get those, improve as a manager.
I don't know, I feel like we have to stop thinking there's a perfect recipe for what a former player needs to do to become a successful manager. I just kind of feel like, yes, obviously, I think the come up and the situations you take after you retire as a player definitely like can help encourage your like situation, like either, you know, set yourself up with a lot of knowledge from being an assistant, or, you know, getting an experience coaching at a lower level, or, you know, just being involved with a team that's, you know, doing well or whatnot. I think those aren't like requirements to becoming a good manager. I think at some point, it definitely helps, but I feel like at some point you either got it or you don't. And
yeah, agree.
We can't force it. Like, I don't think Zidane is one of the best managers because, you know, he was an assistant for a year or a couple or whatever, right? Like, Henri is not the best manager, and he's been involved with, like, the Belgium team for a while before he even took any jobs, right? Like, and I don't know. Like, Arteta was a former player. He's clearly has a system that he wants to implement, and he's clearly a man that studies the game. I don't think the fact that he's a former player and, you know, was with Pep Guardiola for a certain amount of time is like the only thing that makes him successful as an Arsenal coach right now. So I think a lot of it is kind of like subjective, but I mean, experience can't hurt.
Yeah, I do think that the aspect of like growing under like a great manager is a factor that could play a part into it. But like you said, it's not like an exact science, so you can still fail. I'm pretty sure that there's like assistant coaches that were like assistant coach are great managers, and they still failed in the end of the day. So it's not like an exact recipe, but it definitely like is a key factor, and it can help at times.
It can definitely help.
You mentioned Arteta because they know what greatness is, and they know what a good system works. It be under the tutelage of a good manager. Even Ten Hag, like I think Ten Hag was under Guardiola when he was at Bayern. I feel like the U-team
yes,
the one. So you've seen like what I guess greatness was as a manager. I don't know if that's
I think it definitely like it's like we see it in every sport, right? Like European football, American football, we see like these coaches that become successful. We call them like they're coming from like a different coaching tree where they grew up like working with a really successful manager, and they learn a lot from that person, and then you know they implement their own takes onto like the kind of foundation that they've been in, that they've learned their whole life.
Made their own adjustments.
Exactly, made their own adjustments. Then it kind of like develops a new variation of that style that was born from you know the top of the tree of whatever of whoever that is, right? But I think you know you can put anybody in that situation, you won't get the same results. You could put any former player in a situation, you won't get the same results. So I think you have to have like that eye to be a manager as well. And not everybody has it, and I don't think Frank Lampard has it.
What do you think is Sean Dyche's philosophy? He's new coach now, so Everton.
Honestly, I'm not sure what's going to happen with Everton. I think they bring him in, hopefully, just to avoid relegation. I think that's the goal right now.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal. And if he does that, it'll be a success. And if he doesn't, I mean, do you think he's still there next year? I think how long is his contract? 2 years?
I think it's a year.
Okay, so 1 year, I think he's just kind of like, just literally just for, I mean, did they have any other options? I think the pool is very limited.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I mentioned Sam Allardyce, but I can't remember the last time he coached, so.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have been a good option.
It's just one of those things. But, I mean, what do you think?
I think Sean Dyche was the best available manager at the time. So, I can see why they appointed him. And he has a Prem experience, too.
Do you think they get relegated or no?
Yeah, I do believe so.
That's insane, though, when you think about it.
That's crazy to think about, yeah. I think, for me, it's mostly because the teams that are above him, I don't want them to get relegated. Like, I don't want Leeds in the regulation battle. I think Leeds is fun now.
Leeds are fun.
I'm looking at everybody else. I think Nottingham Forest is actually doing pretty well.
Yeah, I don't want to see them get relegated either.
Yeah, they've done pretty well. I mean, they've done decent. They've done enough to stay in the league. West Ham could be relegated. That's another one. Wolves is a shocking one to me. Wolves, I thought Wolves would
be West Ham getting relegated would be kind of crazy, not going to lie.
Yeah, but Wolves is even... I think Wolves might be worse. Especially because
they've been up for a while.
They've been up for a while. Even I mean, West Ham and Wolves were up for a while together. I think but Southampton has been a very big disappointment for me, so I'm not surprised that they'll probably get relegated. That's like foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, I think the bottom three is going to stay like as it is right now. I wouldn't be surprised if there's no movement.
Tough call.
There. Tough call to make, but I'm pretty like. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, obviously, nobody wants to get relegated, but I just feel like some things are going to happen and it's going to work in against their favor.
I guess we'll see. But, I mean, let's talk about one of the teams we mentioned earlier, right? Newcastle. I mean, is this. This got to be one of the best defenses we've seen in a while, right? Like, I mean.
It's up there.
It's up there. I mean, and every game is the same, right? It's like a wall at the back. I mean, Nick Pope has been great, but their defense, they don't have like crazy star players, but the system, it's so good and it's just so hard to score on them. I mean, Trippier has been great. He's been probably the best fantasy Premier League player as well. If you guys play FPL, but
I don't have him. I don't have him in my team. I should have had him in my team.
If you don't have him in your team, you're not playing FPL properly. He's been in everybody's team for like months.
We did, but ours was a draft.
Okay, yeah, you have a draft. It's true. It's true.
Were you the one that sent me the Ben Foster clips, or did I send it to you?
I think you sent it to me.
Yeah, the one where he mentions that how the average size of their like back player is basically like a six over 6 foot. Therefore, any balls that's crossing the air is basically easy work for them.
Yeah, I think all of their players are like 190 centimeters or taller, except Trippier. Trippier's
like, yeah.
He's shorter.
I think he's 5'10".
Yeah, he's like 5'10".
Yeah.
But he's like more of an attacking threat.
Yeah.
Doesn't
even defend as much as the others, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, their back four is solid. Pope is good. And you know, this team is going to get an injection of fun, like, of transfer buzz too. Like, in probably next season, they're going to bring in a couple of players too. Like, they brought in a couple of players already that have made an impact. Like, I think Joelinton has been good.
Yeah. Surprisingly, because he wasn't supposed to be, like, I thought he was a failed player at first.
Yeah, he was.
He's coming, he's bouncing back in a very good, big way. I think Almiron's been their best player.
Yeah, he slowed down a little bit as of late, but he was, like, so good to start the year, too. And Wilson has been good, too. I mean, you know, he was at Bournemouth before, a couple years ago. But I think with bringing Joelinton and Almiron in, like, I think it's made him stronger at the top.
Yeah, he's more creative and it gives him more space to move around and create his chances. I think Wilson is definitely decent. I think St. Maximin being on the bench, obviously he's coming back.
It's crazy,
from the
right? Because he was like one of their best players before.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back from an injury, so I can see why. But it is surprising that he's still starting from the bench. That's how good Joelinton has been. He kept St. Maximin on the bench because he's been that consistent. Like, there's no... Why change it if it's not fit broken, right?
True. What are your thoughts on Longstaff? Sean Longstaff?
I don't know what to think. I think he's done well enough to be, like... He deserves his place in the team. I don't know if when you said the influx
of signings are going to come in. He used to be a United target. A couple years ago when we were looking for midfielder.
I would say stay with Newcastle, bro. Unless United gives you the bag.
I mean, right now, I don't think United is as bad as what we used to be a couple years ago. Anyways.
Yeah, no, he's done decent. I think he's a good, like, cover-up defender, covers a lot of space. Midfielder, sorry. Covers a lot of space, covers lots of ground. Good on the ball. Decent on the ball. I wouldn't say great on the ball, but decent on the ball. He's pretty good, like, low-key. Like, when you saw him at first, he doesn't really look like your average, like, quality player. I'd say that from a Premier League standpoint, like, he's pretty decent.
Yeah. Who do you think are some, like, transfer targets that they can look at to, like, really take the next jump for next season? Because I think Eddie Howe is probably manager of the year, no? Or is it Arteta?
I think it's... If Arteta wins the league, it's Arteta.
What if Arteta finishes second?
It depends on where Newcastle ends. I feel like it's still...
If Arteta, Newcastle finishes top four...
And I think it would be Pope. I think it would be Howe.
Pope manager of the year.
Pope manager of the year. Goalkeeper and manager of the year.
Can you imagine?
No, I mean, I think it's between those two for sure. I don't think there's anybody else in the conversation. Maybe Ten Hag, but I would say for sure it's either Howe or Arteta.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's no bad choice there. When it comes to signings, I think they have pretty good strike. Isaac and Wilson are pretty decent. Striker options. I would say maybe another winger. Almiron and Saint-Maximin aren't like they are injury prone at times. Might be where their weakness is.
Probably do you think they go for a more proven commodity, or they go for another like long, like young, with a bit more of like a future aspect to it?
But they got Anthony Gordon. Yeah,
this is a team that like wants to win now, right? They want to become one of the top teams,
right?
So I feel like they're going to try to go for a kind of a mercenary type player.
Well, the Anthony Gordon seems like a future type of move. Like, even though he's decent, he's okay now. It feels like it's more of a one for the future type guy.
I mean, you can't only buy players for now, right? You have to also.
Although I will say $40 million for him is
almost
borderline too much.
Yeah.
Remember when Chelsea was trying to get $60 million on him early? I think that's when Boley came in the first year. He was like, oh, I think they, then I think it, as soon as he came, a few weeks after that, there was a rumor of him getting, them getting Gordon for 60 mil, and I was like, that's ridiculous.
He's, and I'm not good, even too familiar with Gordon's game, but I just, I don't,
attacking
from everything attacking I've heard, it feels like a lot.
Attacking midfielder, kind of like, I want to say, I don't know who I can compare him to, though. I don't want to say Grealish, because he does
move
around
he?
More. I think he's 20.
He's like early 20s?
21? I'd be wrong. I think he's 21.
Okay.
Definitely like a number 10 / winger. Attacking midfielder, basically. 21. Yeah, he's 21.
Do you think they bring in like a big name? What do you think?
Maybe not this window. Probably in the summer. Because I don't see like what...
No, in the summer for sure. I don't think they're bringing in any players in January.
Yeah, I mean, outside of Gordon, I don't see who else is like available.
No, yeah, anybody else.
Big name. I'm trying to think, but like I said, I think the main part that they should like work on is the wingers.
Yeah,
that's where especially if they're gonna be in the Champions League next year, which seems very likely right now, they're definitely gonna need more options up top.
We see it so many times where like a new team kind of breaks into the Champions League or Europa League, and then they struggle really hard, and it kind of costs them like their performance in like every competition.
Oh, you know who they should
like
bring
we've seen it with like Leicester. Yeah.
Should bring Boufal in. Boufal is actually like one play. I mean, talking about Moroccan players that didn't get a move yet, like Unahi just kind of got signed to Marseille.
I can see that kind of move.
Yeah, I can definitely see Boufal like moving to Newcastle. He's been to Southampton before, so he knows the league. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Arnold Danjuma went to Spurs. Do you know Danjuma? He plays for Villarreal. He should have been in the Dutch national team, but I think he was injured during the World Cup.
Didn't we see a Canadian player just go to Villarreal? One of or was it a
no?
It was a Montreal player. Kamara. Didn't Kamara go to Villarreal?
No, he went to Kamara. Kamara. Kai Kamara.
No. It was a CF Montreal player. I think he just got. Oh no, it wasn't a Villarreal. It was a Valladolid.
That's Kyle Lyron.
Yeah. My bad. I was mixing up.
You're mixing up Koenig because Villarreal is yellow like Watford.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. That's
really.
That's
he's been okay. Koenig to start.
Yeah, the game so far is. I haven't seen the highlights, but so far it's been very encouraging. Like words from him, so.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta see if I can find a Watford game soon. At least watch the highlights to see if he shows up. Even though
can't
really rely on the highlights
for promotion.
Or that's where they're going for. I can't remember where they're ranked right now. But they, I mean, Watford is always contenders. So
let's see
Watford.
They're in top four.
Four. Okay,
Burnley looks like they're getting set. Burnley looked that they're gonna get promoted pretty much guaranteed. Sheffield looks like the next best team. I think those two teams are the easy promotion teams.
Burnley. See that Vincent Kompany? That's a manager that did the right route. He went back to Anderlecht, got a couple years there, went to Burnley, the championship. He's playing Premier League ball in the championship.
Yeah, and I mean they're top of the table, so.
Bro, watch him take City in a couple years.
Nah. You think?
Not I wouldn't unrealistic. Be surprised. It's not unrealistic. Especially if Burnley can play he is like, especially if he can bring Burnley to the Prem and stay there and play like a decent brand of football, why not give him a chance when Guardiola leaves? Because eventually he's going to leave too, so it's not impossible.
Do you think when Guardiola leaves, he takes another job or he just retires?
I think he would take a net. I think he'll, I mean, he'll probably like retire and then come back, kind of like what Zidane did.
Yeah, like Zidane, yeah.
I don't know, maybe he'll take a national team. I think that'll be interesting.
Possible.
I don't know which national team he would take though, but that could be.
Spain.
Spain? Nah, it would be too. I mean, Spain sounds like a too obvious obvious pick. Brazil sounds like a cool good one. I wouldn't mind seeing Zidane with Brazil though. That could be cool.
Nah, Zidane. I wanted Zidane to manage France. It's not gonna happen, but
yeah, because France, the biggest enemy is France. Like they'll never. If you watch Romain Mounier's video, you'll understand what we're talking about. Like France does not want Zidane to succeed for the dumbest reasons.
Wait, why? Can you tell me or no?
I could tell you. let's just say that the there was this interview. I don't know if we talked about this last week or the last time we recorded. There's an interview with Noël Legret, who's like the president of the federation, mm-hmm. where they essentially ask him like, if Zidane calls, like, would you answer or like, would you talk to him, whatnot? He basically said that I wouldn't even like look at the phone, and he said it in such a disrespectful way.
Why? What's the story?
I don't know. That's the thing. We don't know why he's like. I mean, you can kind of imagine why, but there's definitely like he does not. You can tell that he doesn't like Zidane for whatever reason. And
what's the rumor? What's the hypothesis?
He's racist.
Really?
And when I mean, look it up.
That's not surprising.
You gotta look it up to understand more. It's been like a big story for I think the last month or so.
Because he's not like
even Mbappe tweeted about it. French,
he's more like African descent. That's why.
I mean that's probably it to me. I mean he's Algerian of origin, yeah, exactly. But he's awfully he's represented France for his entire career. So I don't see why what's the point of him like you being racist and everything. But it's just you could tell the guy's like 82 years old. He shouldn't even be there.
I mean, the whole team is basically of African descent.
Basically. And I don't think he likes that, too, honestly. I don't think he's fond of that.
I mean, I'm sure he wasn't complaining when they won the World Cup last time around. Yeah, for sure.
If they win, he's not going to complain. If they don't win, that's when there's issues.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a bigger story. I would say watch Romain Molina. He knows. He explains it more in detail than I could ever do. And
do you think that would stop Zidane from taking like the PSG job if it became available? Like,
I don't even think he's interested in the PSG.
But let's say, like, the offer. Do you think that would be, like, a job that's, like, impossible for him to get?
Not impossible, but I don't think he would want to take it because it's in France.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he would probably, like, prioritize maybe another job in Spain or Italy. I don't think he's... apparently, he doesn't like England that like that as well.
I mean, he should definitely come to England. England is the country of managers, but...
Agreed.
That's where you come to prove yourself, type of thing.
Improve. I don't know if he needs the England to prove himself.
He doesn't need to prove it. That's the thing.
Yeah, like, he's already proven himself enough as it is. But yeah, I don't know.
I want to talk about
Brighton for a second.
Yeah, and I want to also talk about a United transfer. I added it to the list.
Potential
United transfer for sure.
Yeah.
But since we're on the topic of managers. What do you think? I mean, I've seen rumors. There's nothing behind this. It's kind of just like people wanting this to happen. But Mourinho coaching the U.S. men's national team, I feel like that'd be straight entertainment, though.
I think it could work. I could see it work.
I could see it working too. But I don't think that's something Mourinho's interested in, and I don't even think it's on his radar.
I mean, Portugal is out of the question now, so why not? I mean, he still has Roma for a couple of years, but assuming that Roma sacks him next year, and the World Cup would be in 20, if he gets back in 2024, 2 years before the World Cup, and the U.S. still doesn't have a coach by now, and it doesn't seem like they are because of all the controversy with the current coach, why not give Mourinho a shot? I mean, it sounds like a big... It would be a massive deal.
More if he would take the deal.
He would take the deal.
You think?
I wonder what it would look like.
It'd be so fun. We're gonna see like Mourinho in press conferences 24/7.
Yeah,
and we're gonna have a whole list of new quotes.
And he's already talked about American players in the past, like how they've done a lot. There's been a lot of progress, and now they're in more European leagues and stuff.
Yeah, so that's true.
I think it would be an interesting gap if it does happen. I don't think it's gonna happen though.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned American players in European leagues. We just saw McKenna just getting...
moved to Leeds.
Moved to Leeds. It's a loan with an option to buy, I think, for like 33 mil or something like that. I think that's a fun move. I mean, he had a lot of hype when he went to Juve. And I think he slowed down a lot. He had some injury issues as well.
Injury issues, yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him at Arsenal.
I don't think you guys need him right now.
We do. I think we'll. I mean, we don't need him technically right now, but we could use him next year, assuming that we go into the Champions League and we need the depth. And I think he's a pretty good player enough to like could fit in a lot of systems. And I feel like Arteta could be one of those systems. But I do like him at Leeds just because I know that he'll get the playing time for sure. And That signing, I feel like Leeds kind of reinforces their desire to. I mean, they're reinforcing like staying in the league. I think they probably need one more signing. Get like close. I mean, it doesn't guarantee anything, but like to kind of solidify their position in the league, you kind of need a couple more quality players. McKennie's they need more.
And you guys got Trossard, which I think is probably more impactful than McKennie to Leeds for.
Yeah, but I mean, they're different positions too. Luke. The different positions as well. Like Trossard is more of an attacker.
I mean, he's very versatile. Trossard. That's the thing. Like he can play.
Yeah.
So many of the attacking positions.
But so is McKennie in the midfield positions. He can play. He can play basically play 6-8, maybe 10. But I think 6 and 8 are his biggest two. Trossard is basically like the front three. Anyone in the front three, which is decent as well. Like I said, he had a pretty good game against City. He had a couple good opportunities. But I want to get Caicedo. If we can get Caicedo as well, that would be the one.
And I know he wants I thought the price tags I saw for him are like all over the place.
I saw the last one I saw was 55. Chelsea put
that's
in
a lot.
Brighton refused.
Like I saw between like 30 and then I saw between like 60, which is just a huge difference in price valuation.
Yeah. I don't know, Brighton. I don't think Brighton can afford to lose him though.
They're having such a good season too. And we're seeing like players like Mitoma and March like really like improve and become more of like common names, I think.
Household names?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I mean, losing Trossard is honestly big because he was a big part of why their early success. But I mean, if it was just dysfunctional, then you got to move on.
Yeah, I think they'll recover from Trossard because I believe that. I mean, the window has what?
He wasn't playing much either.
Yeah, he was more so getting on the bench now. But
and we saw Mitoma come in and start playing, like taking a spot and thriving too.
Yeah. There's like five. I think there's like 4 days in the three days in the window yet, Leif, because it closed on the 31st. I don't think that's enough time for them to get a replacement for Caicedo, and that's why they don't want him to leave.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving in January.
They're saying that he's like not even coming to training anymore, so he might force a move, which kind of forces.
Yeah, if he forces it, that's a different situation.
Yeah, if he forces a move, then Brighton has a lot of cash to spend in like basically 24 hours.
But it definitely hurt. I don't think they're going to be able to make a move in January.
It's Brighton. They must have the scouting like network. They have a pretty good scouting network, so I'm guessing that they already have options. But I feel like, remember when Bissouma was there? Caicedo was supposed to be the next up, which he was, but I don't know if he has the next up to Caicedo yet.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everything's happening like very fast, and they're kind of getting their hand forced. And I feel that's a recipe for mistakes. Like, if they kind of try to force a replacement right away, I think you just take the money and you kind of take the immediate hit, and then maybe you get like a short term replacement that's not expensive, like another body to compete for the position. But then after that, I think you find your long term replacement in the summer. In my opinion, anyways.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about the one you wanted to talk about.
We saw Manchester United win their 20th league title with the help of the best striker in the Premier League getting added to the team. Robin van Persie helps Manchester United over the top and win their 20th league title.
Welcome.
Do we see the same effect if Manchester United go all in for Harry Kane to put them over the edge? We are desperate for a striker. We are desperate for a striker, and I think if we get a guy like Harry Kane, who finally gets the opportunity to fight for all these trophies that he's never won at Spurs, a career of disappointment in terms of trophies and placements at Spurs, and, he gets his opportunity at the biggest club in the world, big price tag, probably close to 100 mil, but he's still one of the best strikers in the world. I think if he puts on a Man United jersey on in this Ten Hag system, I think that puts us as title contenders for next season. I want to see it happen. There's rumors people are linking it because I think it makes sense to a lot of people. United need a striker. You know, he's been in the Premier League forever. One of the best. He's English. The story with the how it happened with RVP. I don't hate it. I like it. It's not going to happen, but I wish it would happen.
He's Spurs' biggest goal scorer as well.
Yeah.
In the Prem, but in the history of
Spurs. I think that's probably why he stayed there for so long, is because I think that was kind of important to him, because he couldn't really fight for anything else, maybe.
But now he has already accomplished that. What else is next?
Exactly. I think he needs a move. He's been linked a couple times over the years. He hasn't really been happy because of the vision of the club. I think now this season is the time. I think it's either this season or bust, because he's getting up there in age too. Like, he's not going to be able to get the same value for him when he's in his 30s. So
I think United should go for Kane, and I think he'll accept it. I don't think he's worth 100
million. I think it's something that he wants. I mean, I think that's probably what he's going to end up going for, just because of, like, you know, you're going to a rival and he doesn't really have any leverage, I guess.
Daniel Levy is a tough negotiator too.
Like, he's 29, he's going to be 30 next year. His value is going to only start going down at this point. So that's the big question. I think 60 mil could probably get it done. Should get it done, but when you're negotiating with Spurs, it's never that easy.
I just thought about this. Wouldn't it be? I feel like you guys have a better chance of getting Son than Kane.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Kane Spurs makes a lot more sense though for us.
Yes, but I don't think Spurs would like accept to lose Kane and Son in the same window. And I think that Son is kind of on the decline. It would be easier to get him moved than it would be Kane. Because Son still has enough quality to be in a decent team, even though he's having such a good.
I don't agree with your the Son decline too much, because I think a lot of stuff.
I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers.
I mean, Son isn't young either, right? I think
he's 29 too.
He's older than Kane. He's 30 already, I'm pretty sure. Looking but I feel like he's young.
Oh yeah, you're right. He's 30.
So yeah.
3 years old. July 8th.
I think we don't need another winger. We just brought in Anthony. I think Rashford's kind of cemented himself as his best position being on the wing. We have Sancho that's still trying to get back into form to get in the lineup. We have Garnacho that's kind of making a name for himself playing in those wing positions. So I think we have winger depth. I think we need striker depth, because I know we lost Ronaldo. Martial is kind of on and off, and he's been injured on and off. I think a striker makes the most sense. I mean, we just brought in Weghorst as a kind of like a warm body for the moment.
But warm body. We're gonna
need a big striker. This club needs a big striker at the top. And I think that's kind of one of the big missing pieces right now.
Kane makes sense, but I wonder if there's a better option.
Who?
I'm trying to think of a name that could be like...
Like a Leao?
No, because he's not a striker. He's more so a winger too. I'm talking like actual pure number 9. And it's a tough market for them, because they're not really like out there like that. Really, I'll start, especially if you want an experienced striker. David? Yeah, but he's also like, although he's been very consistent in the Liga. He's
still a project, that's the thing. And I think
United, he's not proven in the Prem yet.
They don't want a proven target to put them over the edge.
I would think Mitrovic, but character is an issue.
Yeah, I don't want Mitrovic on my team. Not gonna lie, sorry.
I have it in my fantasy. He's been pretty decent. I mean, he's carrying Fulham.
Yeah, he's been a great... He's been a great fantasy player, actually.
I think if Kane doesn't leave, it would be a shame. I mean, not a shame, but it'd be like unfortunate. Because I feel like what else does he have to do with Spurs?
Exactly, and they're not going to compete for the Champions League anytime soon, I'm sorry. Or the league.
I mean, this year was the year. This year was supposed to be the year.
We've seen teams come and go, challenging for the title, and they still haven't kind of made their move. Like, they got really close, but I think that was their window, and it's been downhill since.
Yeah, I think their window is past. The year that Leicester won was their biggest chance. Chelsea kind of ruined that, but yeah. I think now that you have two of your best players in the Prem last year, and they're kind of on off in form right now, but they're not who they were. I genuinely think either Son or Kane is gonna leave, though. One of the two is gonna leave.
Do you think both could leave, and they just blow it up and bring some depth in with all the money?
That would be too crazy, because you gotta make sure that the ones you bring in have the exact same production as the two that are leaving, and I don't think you can guarantee that.
No, but I mean, if they're set on, like, you know, this is the end of their opportunity with this team, you know, get the money for the players, and then, you know, maybe at that point, you know, you don't rebuild for immediate success. You rebuild for maybe success in 2-3 years when other teams kind of age out as well and they're out of their cycle, and you get the best chance. Like, it's not a bad strategy per se.
It's not a bad strategy, but we're talking about Spurs here. Yeah, I think that they need to compete. They need to get back on track, like, as early as next year. And I don't think they have enough money. They don't have to sell anybody for being. They have enough money, but I think. I think they're gonna have to sell one of the two, and I feel like it's coming. It's gonna lean towards Son. I think they're gonna sell Son. I don't know why.
I mean, if they could keep one, they would keep Harry Kane. But I feel like Harry Kane is the one that would want to move the most.
That's agreed. So yeah, they would keep Kane if they could, but Kane wants to move more than Son. Maybe, but we don't know. Maybe Son wants to move too. We don't really know that. But I think I do feel like you might be onto something on that one. Kane needs it more than Son needs it.
Kane to United just seems like the perfect match, to be honest. It just feels like the perfect match. He's English. He's a top striker. He's nearing that point of his career where he's at the peak, and in a couple of years it'll be declining. Like, he's at the best possible moment to get a move to a top club to compete immediately. And it's a perfect match because United need a player like that. They need that last, you know, cherry on top to put them over the edge to start competing like that. I think we're going to bring in another midfielder, because I think Van de Beek, you know, he's injured for the season, and I think his future at the club is in doubt.
That's been
kind of sad. Miro and Eriksen, they're not young. McTominay and Fred, they're not the future of that position either. So I think we probably look to bring in another midfielder, a defensive midfielder, and I think a striker is necessary. So we'll see how it goes. I think Kane is the best fit. I really like that move. I think for both parties it makes sense, but dealing with Spurs is difficult. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Who do you We'll end on this last question. But who do you think is going to be your biggest priority in terms of signing in the near future?
I think for Arsenal, I think the most important would be another central midfielder. Mm-hmm. I think we're covered offensively. We have a lot of options in our front three, front four. I think we have a lot of options in our back four, but midfield wise, like outside of Xhaka and Partey, I haven't been convinced with Sambi Lokomba yet. I know he didn't have such a great game yesterday. Apparently, I didn't really watch it, but the reviews haven't been great. So I do think that we probably need another midfielder, which is kind of why we're going after Caicedo this hard, this late. Because I think we need the depth. Elneny's okay, but he's not like a starter, to say the least. So I definitely think that we need to improve the depth central midfielder wise.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, before we leave, actually, I did have a last question for you. It's about Chelsea, because we haven't. It would be really weird to see like all the signings and not talk about Chelsea for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
Can you list all of Chelsea's signing up to now?
I mean, I don't think we have enough time.
And I'm trying to think. I think there's six.
Chelsea got like two starting 11s that could be just as good as each other. That's what's messed up. I mean, they have a lot of injuries.
They have a lot of injuries.
I think that's kind of forced their hand into making all these signings, but still.
I'm gonna try. I'm not cheating. My phone is on. I'm not looking at my phone. I have not checked another page as we were talking. I'm just going to go off my hands here. So there's Fofana, Badiashile, Felix, Mudryk, Madueke, and Malo Gusto. That's six. I think that's all six. Could be. I think. I don't know if I'm missing anybody.
Did you the other Fofana as well?
There's two Fofanas, right? Wesley is from the summer.
Yeah.
I said Fofana was the first one I said, I think, no?
I forget. You must have.
Then yeah, Fofana, Badia, Shield, Joao Felix, Mudryk, Adueke, Malo Gusto. I think I said it, like, yeah. Yeah, I think I got it right.
So what are your thoughts?
That's way too many in one window. But I guess desperate calls for desperate measures. Yeah, if you have the money, you might as well spend it.
Do you think they make a run for top five or what?
No. I think they're those players, of all the players that I named, Fofana is one for the future, and he's not ready yet. Augusto is not coming till the summer. And there's also Nkunku, but that was from the summer as well. So that's been done for a while. So that's in the summer. Next year, they're going to be crazy. If they get Nkunku, João Felix, and Mudryk, as well as like Havertz and Pulisic, I don't think Pulisic is going to stay if that happens. I
think he's just kind of been like out of favor a little bit before his injury.
That's too many players. I mean, as an American owner, I don't think you want to lose your best American player. I think that's not a very good look for you, but if it happens, it happens. You still have Slonina in goal as a goalkeeper that you need to like develop, so that could be another American prospect. But yeah, I think if all those options like hit, I don't see why Pulisic would be in this team. But yeah, that's still a lot for Chelsea, bro. If I think it's enough to keep them like top six, not top four.
I mean, do you think they finish above Liverpool this season?
Yes.
Yeah. It's gonna be close.
It's gonna be close.
All right. Yeah. We gotta wrap it up. Episode 83 in the books. If you made it this far, honestly, really appreciate it. This was a long episode. It's almost an hour. So we really appreciate your time listening to us. Hope to see you on the next episode. Make sure you follow us on the socials, forward_pressing. Drop us a follow. Make sure you're notified every time the episodes go live. And yeah, appreciate your time. Stick with us. See you soon.
Peace. Have a good weekend.